Last Sunday evening, we studied about the crown of righteousness that we are hoping for and striving for. And in last week's study, we were particularly focusing on that crown of righteousness that we are looking to inherit that goes along with the resurrection of the dead and eternal life. That's the ultimate prize that we are looking for. That is what is to come as the reward for running the race that we have been given to run in this life. But as last week, we were really looking at what is our hope to come for that crown. This evening, we want to focus on what we're doing here and now and what the Lord teaches us about how our race that we're running as a Christian really, in a sense, is also serving as a crown. Of course, it's leading to the ultimate crown, but there are many times in which the Lord speaks about things that we're doing for Him in this life and how that will serve as and be a crown for us. So we want to look at that tonight in our study and focus on the rewards that we are actually partaking of right now as we are also preparing for the ultimate eternal reward that is to come in heaven for us as God's faithful and righteous servants. But as we're looking at what our purpose is in this life, we have been given the commandment to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 not only speaks of or teaches about spiritual growth, but does command it. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Those were the final words that the Apostle Peter was inspired to write to his fellow Christians here shortly before he was going to be leaving the earth. In the first chapter of that same book, he told them he was reminding them of things that they were already knew and were established in as this present truth. But it's interesting to see that the closing words, really, as Peter was about to leave the earth for what God inspired him to say to his brethren was to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that command to grow spiritually, we see the foundation of it to be able to grow spiritually requires our growing in knowledge. That's something that comes from God, as does wisdom and understanding. In chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verses 3 and 4, he says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Well, there is really briefly in those two verses, we're told what our job is or what our vocation is, what our hope is and our purpose in this life. As we are trying to turn from and escape the corruption that is in this world and rather to be partakers of the divine nature. So we want to grow in the image of the Lord and partake of His nature. That's what we're striving for here in this life. And then he says His divine power. This is something that God has given, and that is all things that pertain to life and godliness, but that is through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, through the knowledge of Christ, which is what He commanded us to grow in chapter 3, verse 18 that we read. So that knowledge will come from God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Obviously, that's going to require a diligent study of God's Word for us to be able to grow in that knowledge that God will give us if we seek Him as He has commanded. We have in the book of Proverbs in chapter 2, more of that same type of teaching about God being the source of knowledge, but not only that, but also of spiritual understanding and of wisdom. Let's read from Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. He says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Are we going to be able to grow in knowledge and wisdom and understanding without God? And the answer to that, of course, is no, we will not be able to, because it comes from Him. And there are conditions attached to it. God provides conditions that we must meet in order for Him to be willing to give those things, wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Of course, He's going to give that in association with that Word that He has revealed. But we have to approach that study of His Word and approach God in a certain way that He outlines for us in those verses. And we have lots of teaching. We could easily fill up the rest of tonight's time delving into those conditions that we see introduced there in these verses. But we have to receive His words, hide His commandments with us. We have to incline our ear to wisdom and apply our heart to understanding and seek it as for hid treasure. And then He says, if we do all that, then we're going to find it, and He's going to provide it. We have to meet His conditions, though. But here we see God is the source. Once again, we're being encouraged to grow in knowledge, also in wisdom and understanding. If we look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 18, it says there that the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Now there we see the prudent, those who have wisdom, are crowned with knowledge. So there he speaks of these things that we're studying about, that we're to grow in, that will enable us to grow spiritually in all things, that is described here as something we are crowned with. Now, we know that ultimately we'll receive that crown of life, that crown of righteousness in the end, for our reward for this. But when we're growing in knowledge and wisdom and understanding, now, in this life, day by day, as we should, he says we're being crowned with that. And we need to recognize it as such, that's a crown that we're wearing and able to wear. We don't have to wait for that. We don't have to wait. In fact, what would happen if we did try to wait until the hereafter to grow in knowledge and wisdom and understanding? Well, then it's too late for that, isn't it? And then we'll miss the big crown. But we understand that this is necessary for us to grow in these things now. But how much blessing and reward is there for that process of growing spiritually in all of these things as God is teaching us to do? Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 now in several verses. If we had time, we'd really like to read the entire chapter, the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs. But we'll read several of the verses. 1-9, he says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." Now here we are reading the words inspired through whom? Through Solomon, and he's speaking of what his father taught him to seek after. His father being whom? David. And David directed him, taught him to seek wisdom. And that's what he goes on to say in verse 5. "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." So there again we see it pictured as a crown for us to wear. And we're wearing that crown now as we are gaining and growing in wisdom and knowledge. That's what David instructed his son Solomon to seek after as the principal thing. Is it any surprise then, and we know it wasn't to God, would God have made that offer that he did to Solomon if he didn't know Solomon's heart and know the training he got to expect what he would be asking for when he offered him to give him whatever it was that he asked? And of course, what do we know that Solomon asked for? He asked for wisdom, which was something that pleased God greatly that he asked for that. Well, why would Solomon have that on his mind as a young man, that should be the principal thing? Well, what's he talking about right here? That's what his father David taught him to seek after. So it really isn't a surprise. He was trained to love and to seek after wisdom and to ask for that. But we see there again, he says, if we do seek that knowledge and wisdom from God and understanding, it's going to give to our head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. Now, the last few verses of the same chapter, 20 to 27, he says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." And that's what that knowledge and wisdom and understanding will do. It will enable us to be able to walk in the right paths and to stay away from all other paths, which will lead to destruction. And so that's the teaching that we get there from Proverbs chapter 4. And there is an opportunity for us to wear a crown on our head as we're growing in these things that we're taught to, that come from God. Well, Jesus did that. We all remember Luke chapter 2, verses 40 and also 52, where it tells us how Christ grew when he was on this earth. It says in verse 40 of Luke 2 that the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And verse 52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in knowledge and understanding, of course. He grew in those things because he was seeking after it. He had that crown that he was wearing. This passage in Luke 2 really gives a beautiful picture of Jesus with that crown that he had on his head of the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that he received from God because he had sought for those things. Those elders that he was sitting with there in the temple and discussing the scriptures with, they were amazed at what he understood and what he knew. Of course, that was for when he was only 12 years old. And what a great crown that he had because he sought after his Father in that way. We see the same association between our spiritual growth and growing in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, where we need to see how all of that relates to the entire process that we're going through trying to partake of the divine nature. As we saw that connection in 2 Peter 1, we also see it in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. James 1, 2 through 5. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So that's what we're striving for, to where we're lacking nothing spiritually, where we're complete and entire. We have to go through trials on our faith in order to grow to that point. But then verse 5, he says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." I mean, why do we find verse 5 right there in that particular place? It's connected to what he just said. Does it require wisdom and knowledge and understanding to be able to deal with the trials on our faith, to be able to know what to do in those situations so that we don't fall to sin, but that we endure and overcome the temptations so that we can grow? I mean, that takes a lot of wisdom and a lot of understanding. So that's why immediately after telling us what we're aiming for, he's encouraging us to ask God for more wisdom to do it. And he will give it if we are seeking it from him properly. We have that promise from him right there. Now also in the book of Proverbs, if we go back to chapter 16 and verse 31, as we see more of where this spiritual growth is leading us, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31, and he relates this again to a crown that we're wearing now. He says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." Now if it just stopped after the first part of this verse where you have the comma, I'd have it made. That's talking about somebody having gray hair. And there are several of the others in here that would have it made too. But, of course, we know that there's something else attached to that. And there should be a relationship between the two. Of course, when he's talking about being gray-headed, there he's talking about age and experience. But that relates to the second half of the verse and what that should be able to lead to if we've spent our time wisely that God has given to us. And that is if it be found in the way of righteousness. So if we've lived long enough to grow in righteousness, which goes along with growing in all these other things that we're talking about, as we're growing spiritually and as we're getting older and growing more, is that not a crown that we're wearing? And we see this over and over again, him describing this spiritual growth in that way. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1 as we see this as it is particularly associated with righteousness, like we just saw in Proverbs 16:31. If we're found in the way of righteousness, that is a crown to us when our head is gray, when we've gotten older, because we've grown in righteousness, or at least we should have. If we've done that, then it's a crown. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So where do we find the righteousness of God revealed? He says it's revealed in the gospel. So in God's word we find God's righteousness revealed. So if we're going to be found in the way of righteousness so we can wear that crown, we need to, of course, know what his righteousness is and seek after it. And it's going to be found in his word. Well, let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 5 and look at verses 13 and 14. It requires skill in the word of righteousness. It's in that word in the gospel where his righteousness is revealed. We've just seen that in Romans 1. For us to be able to be in the way of righteousness, then we need to have skill in the word of righteousness. That's going to take time and growth spiritually for that to happen. That's what he's talking about here in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, how much time does it take to seek and to grow in knowledge and wisdom and understanding so we know more of the righteousness of God that's revealed in his word, so that we can then apply that and have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil, so that we're choosing the good way all the time? Well, that's why it says it's for those who are of full age, and that word literally is the Greek word teleos, which is the word to be complete, as we saw it earlier in James chapter 2, verse 4, when he says, patience have her perfect work, he says, then we will be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Well, here's the same word speaking about spiritually becoming complete, in partaking of God's nature and not lacking in any part of it. When we are in the image of Christ, when we grow to that point, we're skillful in the word of righteousness and our senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. We recognize that that takes time. But as we have reached that point, as we're growing in those things, as we saw in Proverbs, that's a crown to us. So we can see the encouragement for us to be growing spiritually. These aren't things here that we're waiting for in the hereafter. Every day as we're growing in knowledge and wisdom and understanding and growing more in the image of Christ, that's a great blessing that we're partaking of right here and right now. I mean, think about it. If we're more like Christ today than we were yesterday and more this year than last year, is that not a good thing? Is that not a blessing? And that's something we didn't have to wait for. Do we have to work for it? Yes. But do we have to wait for it? No, that opportunity is right here every day to grow more and partake more and more of those blessings and have that crown. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 informs us or reminds us not to be deceived. He says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." So when he says being found in the way of righteousness, it's not just knowing what is right, but it actually requires doing it. That should go without saying, but we obviously have people around deceiving others on that particular point. They're very much around today as they were back in the time when this was written. As they were warned not to be deceived about that then, we're still being warned not to be deceived about it now, because the devil is still very adept at deceiving people into thinking you don't really have to actually do what's right to be righteous. The word itself should let us know otherwise, but there he's very clear about it. We have to do what's right. We have to do righteousness to be right and righteous. So that being found in the way of righteousness, we have to grow in that word, or grow that skill in the word of righteousness, and then apply it and do it so that we can truly be righteous. But we turn to Revelation chapter 3 now and see verses 10 and 11 when he's writing to the brethren at Philadelphia, and this is one of two churches in Asia that received these, two of the seven that received these letters, the only two of the seven, along with Smyrna, that did not have any rebukes in their letters. They weren't told anything that they needed to repent of. Sadly, the other five were told that they needed to repent or else, literally in those words. But here, Philadelphia was one of the two that didn't have anything to repent of. They were doing what was right, and they were praised for it. In Revelation chapter 3, 10 and 11, they were told, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." So they had done what was right. God was even going to spare them from this trial that was going to come upon the earth. But here he's encouraging them to hold fast to what they had. Now, is he saying, keep on? Now, the Smyrnans, he told them in verse 10 that if they were faithful unto death, that he would give them a crown of life. So there's the crown of life ultimately in the end. But what are the brethren here in Philadelphia being told to do? To hold fast to that crown that they had and not let anyone take it. Well, they were already prepared to receive that crown of life, but also what they had done in growing in Christ as they should, that itself also that was a crown for them that they were having now. So there's those things that we're looking forward to come as an eternal reward, but they're also blessings that we are possessing now as we do the will of God. Now, we want to turn our attention for the last few minutes that we have to the good works that God gives us to do. And these good works that he gives us to do, to put into practice these things that we're growing in. I mean, when we are growing in kindness, when we're growing in patience, when we're growing in long-suffering, when we're growing in forbearance, when we're growing in all those things, in mercy, I mean, we can go down the line of all these parts of the divine nature. These are the very things that we're growing in, that we're wearing as a crown now as we're growing in them. But for those things to really have meaning, don't we have to put those things into practice and show mercy and show kindness and show long-suffering to others? And the Lord gives us opportunities to do good works for Him, for His glory in this life, and gives us many opportunities. In fact, that's really the joy that we have in serving the Lord in this life as one of His followers. As a Christian, is our life, which is a life that contains suffering for righteousness' sake, as we saw a while ago in James 1, trials on our faith. We have a lot of affliction as Christians. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we're of all men most miserable. I mean, that's the kind of life we have as a Christian. We don't have an easy life. We don't have a life free from trouble. We have a life that is particularly filled with troubles and trials and tribulations and afflictions. So is our life on this earth one of misery as a Christian? Are we sad and depressed people, beaten down and despairing? Is that the way we're supposed to be? Or did he say, count it all joy even during those times of temptation and tribulation? Yes, knowing this, he says that this is how we're growing. And this is what it's leading to. And there's a joy, or should be a joy for us, in doing good works, in doing the things that God gives us to do. And when we do those good works and continue to serve the Lord, even when we're being afflicted for it and suffering for it, that should be a great pleasure to us, to be doing His will in spite of all those things. That's actually our portion that we have in this life from God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 18. Solomon came to understand this as he did many, many things, many of which were foolish, and he learned that all those things were vanities and vexation of spirit. He also learned what really was of value in life, and that's what he was writing about in Ecclesiastes, warning us not to go down the path of wasting our time in vanities and vexing our spirit with things that are of no value, but rather to do what is going to be good in the sight of God, and reminding us of what is good in this life for us. And Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 18 is one of many verses where he summarizes that. He says, "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion..." I was reading verse 19. There. Verse 18, he says, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all of his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. This is the portion that God gives us. Now, we have to eat and drink to live, and that should be done for strength. Chapter 10 and verse 17 of the same book teaches us that. He's not talking about eating and drinking to have a good time or to seek after those material things or earthly pleasures. Those are the very things that he's warned us to stay away from as vanity and vexation of spirit. But to eat and drink for strength so that we can do the will of God, to do the good works God gives us to do, that is our portion. And he says, and to enjoy the good of all of our labor. Does it give us pleasure to do good? And of course, good is defined by God. When we're doing what God taught us, we're doing what's good. Is that not a joy to do? Knowing that what we're doing right now, while we're here, we are here in the place doing the very things that God would have us to do right at this moment. We're where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing. Does that not give us pleasure to do that? To know that we are doing the Father's will right now? That we're doing the things that we're supposed to in this life at this moment? Of course, we want to do that at all moments. But that should always give us pleasure to do that. That's our portion. And he also speaks of that really in terms of a crown that we're wearing when we do that and all the facets of our life. A big area, of course, is in our families. That's going to take up a lot of the time and effort. And how many of the good works that we had to do in our lives, the opportunities, how many of those opportunities are with our own family members? I mean, those are the people we live with. I mean, we have more opportunities to do good works for our family than anybody. Of course, we broaden it out from there and then our spiritual family at large, but it's going to start at home, the opportunities to do good works there. And let's turn to Proverbs chapter 18 and look at verse 22. Proverbs 18, 22. He says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So it is a great blessing when we are given a spouse from above. Chapter 19, verses 13 and 14 says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Now that doesn't sound like finding a good thing and obtaining favor of the Lord. Well, that's one kind of wife, but if you look at the next verse, then he speaks about the other kind in verse 14. He says, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. So when we have one of those prudent wives, and of course it's from the Lord when a righteous woman is given a prudent husband, but that's something to be thankful for. That's a blessing from God. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 14, or verse 4 rather, he says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones. Well, for now, let's focus on the first part of the verse as it pertains to this lesson. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. So when we receive that blessing from God to have a righteous spouse, that itself is also a crown that we wear. That makes our life and provides the opportunities for us to do so many good things for the Lord, and that's something that we should appreciate greatly and recognize as an opportunity for us to be wearing that crown. And if we had time right now, we could go to Proverbs 31 and read verses 10 through 31 that gives the details of what a virtuous woman is like, and it describes how her husband is and her children, how blessed they are, and really again how she's going to be a crown for him. By being that kind of person. In the New Testament, in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, that's the essence of exactly what older Christian women are instructed to teach younger Christian women in becoming that kind of a wife and mother. And so that's going to be a crown for the one. Of course, it's going to be a crown for her for being that kind of person and growing, as we've already seen, in the image of the Lord. But it's going to be a crown also to the one who has her. And in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6, he says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. So there is a blessing not only in having a spouse, but in having children. And Psalm 127 verses 3 through 5 tells us that having many children is also a blessing from God. And here he speaks of grandchildren. Now, when we read Proverbs, there's some encouraging things about older ages, aren't there? And being able to be walking in the way of righteousness better than when you could when you were younger, having that experience, being able to have grandchildren. But especially, again, if they're in the way of righteousness, isn't that a crown for one in their life those years have gone by and they've done that job and training up their children in the way of righteousness, and that they follow the Lord, and now their children are doing the same thing? How many of us, if that's all we achieved in this life, and we can leave this life knowing that our children and their children are following the Lord and seeking after Him, is there really anything else that we need? Is there anything else that we need to achieve in this life if we've done that and we pass that on to our family? Of course, we want to do the same for as many others as we possibly can. But if we know that our own family is following in the ways of righteousness, that is a crown to us for any of us who are fulfilling God's purpose in that way. It's also interesting to see how the Apostle Paul described the work he was doing for the Lord and converting others to Christ. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." And as it is with our family, that crown being the reward for the good work we've done in our families and helping our family to follow the Lord as they should. Well, here Paul takes it beyond that to others that he was influencing. And as long as they were following the Lord, the ones that he had taught, they were his joy and crown. As long as they were following the Lord. Now, what kind of a crown is it if they turned away from the Lord? Then there's really no reward there. But what kind of a joy and encouragement was that for Paul in his work to see that investment of his time and effort to be reaping those benefits and blessings, to see many following the Lord who before the hand didn't know the Lord at all. We also see the same thing in other passages that Paul was inspired to write, but it lets us know that we're partaking of many blessings right now whenever we're doing good works for the Lord, whatever it is the Lord gives us to do. We're having the opportunity to grow spiritually in this life. We're also having the opportunity to do many good works in serving our God. And those are blessings we have right here and now that are helping to lead us to that point where we will receive the ultimate crown, the prize of eternal life. And tonight is an opportunity for anybody that's here that has not yet started on that pathway of righteousness and following the Lord and running the race grow to be like Christ. If you haven't started that tonight, this is the right time to do that. It might be the only time. So if you need to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Christ as God's Son before men tonight and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of your sins, we're encouraging you to do that right here and now. Or if you are a member of the body of Christ, but if you've not been following the Lord like you should and you're in jeopardy of losing the blessings that the Lord is providing for you to have right here and now, as well as eternal life, then you have an opportunity to make things right with the Lord again right now. And we're encouraging you to do that if that is your need. Anyone that needs to come, please do so now while we stand and sing.